5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
The NBA team. What about that today?
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you.
Put moron number two on the phone.
We must have better radio.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Heavy hearts we've got today, yes. Fat. Let's be brutally honest about it. We both knew and really liked Dean Jones and tragically passed last night, age 59, which is way too soon for anyone, let alone someone with his resume. So we're going to have a chat about Dino. He was a star, make no mistake about that. And speaking of stars, we can also speak to a young star. Caleb Sarong has won the NAB AFL Rising Star. Richly deserved it too. Had a ripping season. Looking forward to chatting to him. We hear an idiot file from you, Fat, cool. Just to lighten things up a touch.
Oh, wow.
And then a bit of a risque Friday joke to round things off. So, there's a nice Friday helping at the Rush Hour. Hello to you, Willis.
Hey, g'day, Jim, and you're spot on, mate. I grew up watching Dean Jones more so. I know you knew him, you work with him, so we'll have a chat about that in the next break. But I watched him and I loved him because he could play cricket. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So a star, as you said, and gone too young at 59. Message there for some of us folks in that age bracket too, Jimmy boy.
That's it.
What do you got for us, Rabs?
A beautiful shot. That's a huge six over the four. It's a magnificent shot. Into the Queensland woods. It's the Wacker. It's the Wacker. Whatever it is. It's a big six, I can tell you that. What a shot. More of that, please, Dean Jones.
Oh, Greggy just forgetting where he was.
Over the Wacker, whatever it was, Jim.
That's it, whatever it is.
Big night last night. We'll talk about Dino very shortly, but a big night last night. We had Sarah Jones on yesterday, and she told us about the AFL Awards night, so I sat up and watched them last night. Did you watch them?
No.
Weren't bad, not bad. It was a strange, eerie type of award night. But anyway, the players. The most valuable player was Lachie Neale. I think we all knew that.
Yes, don't think there's any issues there.
This is Christian Petrarca was not far behind, and then Travis Boak. That's the coach's award, and then the player's award, Lachie Neale from Travis Boak won that one. Second on that one, Jim. And then Sarong, of course, won the NAB Rising Star. We'll have a chat to him later on. He won that. Noah Anderson was second there. What else we got?
A bit flat, Bill.
Yeah, come on, Bill. I thought you'd get a bit more up about the All-Australian team and, you know, the awards nights and stuff.
No, because I'm just sick of these machines breaking down. Now, the All-Australian team.
He's cracking.
The All-Australian team. What did you think of that, Jimmy boy?
Oh, look, I didn't have too many issues with it. I actually feel for the selectors because it's firstly an inexact science and secondly, you're never going to please everyone. The only real standout for me was Max Gawn, and everyone listening knows how much I love Max Gawn. He is a legitimate star of our game, but I don't reckon he had a great season, Bill. In fact, not only do I not reckon he had a great season, neither does his own footy club, because he came sixth in their best and fairest. And I just don't know that he was the second best ruckman in the competition.
No. Well, but they always seem to pick two ruckmen in the All-Australian side. I don't know if you actually have to do that.
Well, you probably don't have to. I don't mind it, as long as they're both, you know, worthy of selection. So the other thing for me with All-Australian Fat is I would argue that it's actually a lot harder to play well in a poor team. You know, if you're playing in the team that's finishing in the top four, it's actually, you know, you get carried along a bit by the momentum of the team and the quality of the players around you. So Todd Goldstein, for instance, I thought had a magnificent season. He dropped away probably the last couple of weeks, but that shouldn't matter. It's over the body of the whole season. He was, I think, in the top five in the competition for clearances as a ruckman. Second in hit-outs to advantage. So for me, I actually think it's harder for him to play well than, you know, the Nick Nat Newey, for instance. But anyway, it's the view of the selectors, and it's a bloody tough job.
It is. I'm not sure about the wings either. Jack McRae, by the way, that's his second in a row All-Australian. he just goes under the radar a bit. I know he gets it, and we all know him, but he just goes under the radar. I'm not sure if he's actually a wingman. And Cam Guthrie, I'm not sure he's a wingman. But anyway, that's it, and it's all
good
done
on
now.
Him. Well done. Exactly right. If you're all Australian, that is a great honour. So well done to all of those players.
Melbourne Storm are playing on Sunday, the final home and away game.
Now, what Bill, about this? I want to just jump in here for a second because it's my understanding that we're going to get our first look of the season at our man Sandor Earl, or as you called him.
We've got a Stormer coming in very shortly. Mm. What's his name again? Oh, Knackers Earl.
Knackers Earl.
That's him, Knackers. He loves it. He loves being called Knackers, Jim. He loves it, Cocko.
Oh, so, come on.
But Storm are taking on the Dragons, 4 p.m. on Sunday. Guess what? They are resting 11 players. 11, Jim. Cameron Smith and Munster and Hughes and Bromwich and the Fox at O'Carr. They're all getting
Solly, Lassie, Vanaroo, Lulas.
Lula.
I don't know if he's getting rested. I don't know if he's getting rested. But they're resting 11, so good luck to the Storm. Also, the Melbourne Vixens, they're playing on Sunday at 1 p.m. Good luck to them.
We need to get to a break, Rabbits Bartholomew, and chat about the legend, Dean Jones, next.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Because Australia need a real classical Dean Jones inning.
When Dean Jones was at the crease as a cricket spectator, you felt confident that Australia was going to be okay.
Well, that's a huge hit. That's six more. That's one of the biggest hits I've ever seen here at the Adelaide Oval.
Oh, that's a big hit. That's six. It's way, way back. There she goes. Oh, up in the balcony. What a great hit.
You could say he revolutionised the way, certainly for young fans, coming down the wicket, stepping to the side. We see the players do it in this day and age with ease. It's a normal thing, but at that time, not so much.
Oh, he smashed that one. That'll end up in Coconuts. It's gone miles. It's a big six. Huge six there from Dean Jones. He's decided to let loose.
But the Victorians' most courageous moment came during a test in Madras in 1986.
It was so hot and the energy levels were just completely sapping out of us.
I don't think they played today in those conditions. I think they would say it was harmful to your health. It really was quite ridiculous when you look back, and it was so hot.
I knew it was hot when Chris Reekamp, a local, he said, "You know how hot it is here, Dino, today?" I said, "No." He said, "When I was driving here this morning, I saw the rats running away."
That double century in Madras is just the stuff that Legends was made of.
The tragedy of it was played in India because it didn't get the publicity, it didn't get the recognition. It's one of the great innings ever played, one of the gutsiest innings ever played.
He's so passionate about Australian cricket. He was so passionate about the game of cricket, full stop. There's not that many players who really revolutionised the game.
Beautiful shot. That's a huge six over the ball. It's a magnificent shot. What a shot. More of that, please, Dean Jones.
Oh, look, Bill, where do you start when you're talking about Dino? He was a properly larger-than-life character. Firstly, he was a hell of a player. Probably a better player than people actually realised. At the time, he averaged 46 over 52 test matches, which speaks for itself. As you've just heard so many people talking about that introduction, he reinvented the way one-day cricket was played. He took it to a whole new level. He was also an incredibly good player for his beloved Victoria. He loved playing cricket for Victoria. We played in three Shield matches in a row, if you like, 3 years of Shield matches in a row at the MCG. I reckon it was in the early 90s. The first year we came over, South Australia, Victoria at the MCG, he made 200s in the same game. That was the first year. The next year we came back, 200s the same game. Next year we came back, he made a double 100. And then the third year we came back, he made a triple century. 300 in the one innings. In fact.
So 100, 100, 200 and a 300.
And a 300. In three sort of years of playing Shield games at the MCG. And in fact, I remember he was in the middle of making 300. The only time I ever saw live anyone make a 300. Actually, that's not true. Jeff Marsh made one in Perth one day. But anyway, I'm out there walking from first slip to first slip. And seriously, mate, we didn't look like getting him out. And that came on the back of the previous year, 200. The previous year to that, 200s in the one game. So anyway, we'd had enough. We'd had enough of looking at him. So I'm walking from first slip to first slip. And he was on about 280. And I said to him, "Dino, why don't you do us all a favour and off." He pissed. And? He used to have this stupid high-pitched laugh. Yeah. He'd go, hey, you're not going to get me out in a week. You will never get me out on this. And, mate, we weren't going to either. I don't even reckon we did get him out. It was So he was an incredibly good player. He's still the best runner between the wickets I've ever seen.
Oh, yep.
And, Bill, that's a very underrated part of the game of cricket, I reckon. He loved the challenge of it. He loved turning ones into twos and twos into threes. But
spot on.
The other thing he loved doing, he loved the ego of taking certain fielders on. So he'd be out there batting and he'd look at the fielder and go, so you think you got a good arm? Watch me beat it. Yep. That was how he sort of, his mind worked. Yep. And ego is an often heard word when describing Dino because he had a healthy one. But it had, and you know this, it had a charm with it. Once you knew... you know, it was part of the Dean Jones sort of package. He had this great charm. And I said to a really good mate of his who I knew would be devastated, so we sort of spoke earlier today, and I said to him, this guy played as well, I said, I legitimately couldn't stand Dino when we played against each other, mainly because we could never get him out. But he was an antagonist, Fat. He'd hold the bowler up at the top of his mark. He'd ask for a change of gloves at the most inappropriate time. He did stuff that he knew would antagonise the opposition. And he especially loved getting under the skin of the opposition leaders. So with us, it was Jamie Siddons and Darren Lehman. And they'd crack the shits with him. And then he'd start laughing that they'd get angry. And I remember we'd walk into the dressing rooms at lunchtime and tea time. And I'd say to them, boys, you're tipping into him again. He is doing it so that you'll get angry. And they got angry. But what I realised later on, we got to do a lot of work together on TV, pay TV doing commentary, was how wrong I had him, Fat. He was actually a beauty. He had a massive heart. He was incredibly generous. He had time for everyone. And he loved his girls. And by the way, they loved him. Janie, his beautiful wife, Isabella and Phoebes. They adored Dino. They will be understandably devastated. 59 is way too young. But I will say this when I finish talking about Dean Jones. He was always larger than this life. But don't worry, Fat. You know this. He'll push his shoulders back and he'll walk into the next life and he'll be very confident he can dominate that one too. That's just
exactly
what he's like.
Right. Spot on. Very confident, as you said. And you worked with him too, and you found out he was a good bloke. Yep. But I did a couple of sporties. We used to do our sporties with him over there in Perth with Mouse, of course. And mate, you never knew, like I grew up watching him, and you love watching him play cricket, but he'd bowl in. He was a big presence, wasn't he?
He was. And no, he was, mate. Larger than life, as I say.
Yeah, he wouldn't put up with any crap, by the way, from anyone either. But he'd sit up there and he'd love to talk. He loved to talk about, you know, he's 210 at Madras and how hot it was. And he used to blow that up, put on some mayonnaise. Richard Hadley, how he only got me out three times. He was nearly the best bowler I faced. And he wore the sunnies. He used to talk about that a bit in his sporties and things like that. But what he did talk about, Jim, about himself, did he talk about himself and add mayo and all that? And he was good company. He was really, really, really good company.
He's a beauty. He'd tell you how he was friends with the stars, how good a mate of his Greg Norman was, or Elton John was, or Paul Hogan was, or... You know, but they were. They all knew him. They all loved him. And as I say, it took, for me anyway, it took me to stop playing against him and start working with him to realise just what a special bloke he was. And, you know, he loved the game of cricket. That's the other thing. Some people tell you they'll love cricket, but he legitimately loved the game of cricket. He loved nothing more than sitting with a beer or a glass of wine and talking about the game of cricket. It wouldn't take him, as you said, wouldn't take him long to turn it back on himself, but he did. He just loved it, and he loved competing when he played, and then he loved being around cricket when he finished, and 59 is too young.
Antagonise, as you said. What about the one with Curtly Ambrose? He's curtly storming in and he stops him, asks him to take off his sweatband. And he was talking about it last night. They had it on Fox Cricket, actually. And Mark Taylor's down the other end going, mate, I've got two kids at home.
Yeah.
I'm going to get killed out of here on the ground. And he just got, and curtly was, he was upset. He just couldn't wait. But as Dino said, guess what? He didn't get me out.
No, he didn't. He had great courage, and that came through whenever you watched him play. It didn't matter how fast the bowling was, or that famous test in Madras when it was stinking hot and he made 200. He just had this incredible courage and will to compete.
Yeah. He said his best innings was, believe it or not, his first game, first test, when he played against the West Indies over there and made 48.
Yeah, that was back in the day of, you know, I think it was Joel Garner and Malcolm Marshall and all of those boys. And, yeah, that would have been frightening. I think AB made 190 in the other innings of that game. But, there's no doubt he had extraordinary courage. And, as I say, he revolutionised one-day cricket. And he made that double hundred against the West Indies at the Adelaide Oval when he shared that big partnership with Merv and Sir Donald Bradman came in after the game. And Patrick Patterson looked at him and said, "How did you make all those runs? You're only about this high." And he put his hand out. He said, "I'd have no trouble getting you out." This is Patrick Patterson to Sir Donald Bradman. And Bradman turned around, pointed to Merv and said, "Get me out." You couldn't even get him out.
But he, good one, Sir Donald.
He was a beauty, mate. And he'll be greatly missed. He's a legend of the Australian Cricket Hall of Fame and richly deserved that. But as I say, my thoughts and our thoughts, Fat, go out to his beautiful girls, who will be absolutely devastated at the loss of their beautiful dad and husband. And so to Janie, Isabella and Phoebes, we send you every bit of love we've got.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Collier centering ball, coming at the good mark. Taken in front by Sarong. And Sarong, who has not kicked the goal in his career. Sarong, no problem.
Well done, young man.
Got the goal.
They bring it out, but not far. Now it's with Sarong. Gets another chance.
Caleb Sarong, Fat, the NAB AFL rising star for 2020, and richly deserved, of course. A Geelong Grammar boy from down your way. And nice to have him on the line. Caleb, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. No, thanks for having me.
What sort of a night did you have, mate? Were you able to enjoy it, or this virtual bloody thing we're dealing with, was it a low key? What'd you do?
Did you have a frothy?
It was pretty quiet. I had a quiet frothy, Bill, but it was pretty quiet on the couch at home. We're in quarantine at the moment over in Perth, so we can't really get up too much. But yeah, we've got a fair crew here. I live with three other guys, and then we've got a couple of girlfriends over as well, quarantining together. So it's a fair household. I think we've got about seven of us here. So, there's always something to do. So we're just all chilling out and watching on TV.
Oh, well done, mate. Geez, a few frothies might have got in the spa a bit later. Could have been an interesting night. Was Chloe over there with you?
Yes, Chloe was over here. So, she was in the hub up in the Goldie while we were in Cairns, and then was able to get up to Cairns for the last few days and then get back on the flight with us over here. So she'll be here for a little bit just to enjoy Perth rather than being in Vic at the moment. So I think she's enjoying it.
Who do you live with, Caleb? Other boys from the team? Who's in the house?
Yeah, a few of the younger boys. So Sam Sikowski, Jarvis Pinner, and Lloyd Meek. So a couple of young boys. So we're just all tracking along at the moment, just enjoying a bit of a break.
Never heard of one of them. But anyway, hey, now tell us, Caleb. Mate, now, you grew up where? In Warrigal or Inverloch, I think it was. And then you come down this way, you saw the light and came down to Geelong Grammar, mate.
Yeah, so I started off in Inverloch. Moved there when I was about three. Lived on a farm, dad dairy farm down in Inverloch for a bit. So great part of the world down there on the beach. And then when I was about 11, I moved over to Warrigal, where I kind of grew up the rest of my childhood there, and loved Warrigal, also a great spot, God's country down there. And then moved in year 11 to Geelong Grammar, to be honest, I'd never really been to Geelong before that, so I hadn't really ventured down that way, but went down to see the school, and great school. It's, as you guys know, it looks fantastic. It's just pristine ground, so couldn't really say no. It was too good of an opportunity to pass up. And then I've been back to Geelong a fair bit since, so loved it down there. It's a great spot. Ooh.
And you, of course, in Cuffy House at Geelong Grammar, which my sons were in. So Henry, of course, was the last one there. And you would have seen some packets of smokes that he tucked in behind the lounge or maybe the odd VB or something, Caleb?
Yeah, I think head of house, John, had a few... had a big vault he had stored of all the boys' stuff that he confiscated, so I reckon there might have been a few on there, maybe.
Were you lucky enough to get out of the Grammar and just see the beautiful suburb of Cryo? Get around there?
Every now and then you'd catch a taxi into Cryo Village there and go Coles and just looking over your shoulder and stuff. But, nah, it was good fun.
And with the refinery, you'd lose half a layer of your lungs.
Hey, mate, hey, well done. That's a bloody good effort because you didn't play your first game for Freo until what, round four?
Yeah, round four. I had to kind of work away in the twos a little bit. Round one, I thought I was kind of ready to go, and then, to be honest, looking back at it now, I probably wasn't. But I thought then I was, and JL just told me I probably wasn't as fit as I needed to be. Like, I wasn't too bad, but I just needed to get better on the spread and tried to work on that on the shutdown period. Went home and trained with my brothers back in Warrigal and, worked really hard and came back a lot fitter and a little bit lighter as well. And because when I got back, it was round two, and Dave Mundy had come back as well. It was a pretty tough midfield to crack into. So a few games in the twos, just tried to work hard and kind of eventually got in. And one of my goals was once I got in, I didn't really want to give up my spot. So I was able to do that, which was nice.
And not a tall man, Bill.
No.
Caleb, let's be brutally honest, but that's why you probably hang around the likes of Andy Brayshaw, because he's also a vertically challenged unit.
I was speaking to him this morning, actually. He said you were going to try and stitch him up, so he wanted me to stand up for him. So,
here's the two things, Caleb. Firstly, as Bill correctly said, he's tiny. And secondly, he's got the Coke can ankles. I don't know if you've noticed, his sort of shins just morph into his feet.
Oh, he has some of the best ankles I've ever seen, that bloke. Yeah, he loves them.
What is going on with the name Caleb, by the way? Is it a biblical name, Caleb? What?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I reckon Mum and Dad watched a movie just before I was born, and there was an actor in there. I think Paul Walker was playing him, actually. And I'm not sure what movie it was, but they liked the name Caleb and run with it.
Well, you're only tiny, and then Caleb Daniel makes the All-Australian team last night, and he's smaller.
Yeah, I know. It's a good name. It's going places, I reckon. There hasn't been many Calebs around there.
It's going places. I love it. 20 grand. What are we going to do with that, please?
Oh, not sure, to be honest. I think it's in a bit of an investment fund, so might get the manager to look after it, but to be honest, I haven't really thought too much about that at the moment, Jim, so it's going at the moment.
What about the off-season, mate? What are we going to do? Nice season, by the way, Freo. Just starting to build into something. You can see where this group's headed, but what are we going to do for the next 3 or 4 months?
We'll hopefully get out of quarantine alive with the boys. Just chill out for a bit and get out. And then after that, I think we've got a couple of weeks and then the grand final. And after the grand final, I think a few of us are going down south, head down to Margaret River and Dunsborough, that kind of area for a week, and got a few Airbnbs down there and just relax with us and our girlfriend. So that'll be nice to explore the scenery down there and head to a few beaches. But other than that, I think we're all pretty keen just to stick around and get stuck into training as quick as we can.
Well done, mate. And might see you over here in Geelong out at the village. That'd be nice. We can have a dart out there and just catch up out at the village.
Yeah, we just got to make sure we're looking over our shoulder the whole time. We don't want to get shanked around.
I'll tell you what, Caleb, you've left there. Don't go back is my strong advice. You are now in the western suburbs of Perth. It's beautiful over there. The sun shines. It's about 25 degrees every day. You've landed in a good spot.
I have, yeah. Might have to head back to Geelong at some stage. I've got my girlfriend staying there and my brothers at school there now, so might have to head back down there at some stage, but Perth at the moment is great. To be honest, I'd never been over here before I got drafted and didn't really know what to expect. I knew it was kind of a bit of a smaller city, but I'm loving the Fremantle kind of area. Great beaches, some really good cafes, and just really relaxing lifestyle, so loving it.
Good on you, mate. Well, very proud of the season you've had, if we can say that, given neither of us know you, but you played like a bloody champ. Enjoy the off-season. Can't wait for 2021.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So Rush Hour on Triple M, Bill's Idiot File up next. Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill.
Got an email here.
Oh.
And it's from Vin in Preston.
Vin in Preston.
Yeah, and it reads like this. Jim, you are the king of kings. Rabbits get your button pushing right. I've noticed you're starting to fall away.
Yes.
But he says, my favourite thing that ever appears on this show is the Idiot File. Because Bill's an idiot.
I can't believe, Jim, they all start the same.
I know. You are the king of kings. I know. It's fantastic. Go Blues, says Vinny. That couldn't be Vin Cotoggio, surely. Not our man. Out there, no. Preston way. Vin loves this show.
He it does. Might be.
It could
might
be Vinny. He loves the Rush Hour, Vinny Cotoggio, the great man. All right, so idiot follows what Vin wants to hear. Let's hear it.
I do have one more, Jim. He sent it through to me on the Insta.
Oh, yes.
He listens from County Wicklow in Ireland. I'd love to get a shout out on the show someday. I think we would get a great laugh at you trying to pronounce my name.
What is it?
Well, it's Irish for Peter, Jim. So it's Peter. Peter Burke.
Peter.
Oh, Jimmy boy, it's tough in being a single life, Jim. It really is tough in this ISO period.
It's tough being a single life.
It is, Jim. Ah, Jim, two burglars. Oh. What about this? You know what this is? Huh? You know what? It's a Viking clap.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah, that's what they started it in Iceland.
Right.
When back in the day when the Vikings used to have a good kill.
Right.
They'd all come marching back and do the Iceland clap.
Yes.
Viking clap.
And also, the Viking clap. But I think, Jim... now, Damo, I don't know if you can help me out here. Was there any Richmond Football Club boys still in the strip joint the other night? Or had any Richmond footy boys had left the club earlier?
Do you understand that question, Purple?
St Kilda West Coast.
Who's looking after it for us?
Well, Barry Denner, he's very good. Joey Montana, very good. Bernie Vince.
Yep. Montagna.
And Dominic Team, yes. He's a very good player, Jim.
Very good.
Here's one, the US Open in five sets. He lost the first two, Jim.
He did.
He was down 2-6, 4-6.
Against who?
Alexander
Zverev. No, don't. Rabbits. Who'd he play in the final?
Verviv.
Oh.
Verviv. But, it's a silent Z, Jim. But. Our man. Our man blew up in in the semis, Jim.
He did.
Medvedev. Wow, wee Jimmy boy, blow me down. That changes everything. I almost felt like a adult.
Or I almost feel like an adult again. Is that what you're trying to say? Or?
Yep, all right, I can say that. I almost feel like a adult again. You say that. I almost feel like an adult again.
What are you doing down there, please? Have you got a CC and dry open? Or something?
How do you say it then? I almost feel like
an adult again.
Right. Wowee, blow me down, Jimmy boy. That changes everything. I almost feel like a adult again. Matt Cottrell, the red nut, who went back and took a nice mark. Hadn't done a lot that night, to be honest, but took a really nice mark. And then did you see the after it?
Yes, I did, Bill.
Celebrate it.
The after
it. Yes, I saw the after it. Yeah, yep.
NFL, well, Tom Brady is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jim.
Yep. Where are on your Buccaneers?
On his buckethead. Buckethead, Jim.
Oh, where is our man at?
Number 9, the Hemsworthers. The Hemsworths, Jim.
Thank you.
And she's a girl from the Gold Coast, Jim,
that's
and
it.
Done very, very well. So well done to you, Margot.
Or even Margot, yeah.
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I caught up with Leon.
Did you?
It's bloody hard to catch up with. He's been busy this week.
In Hubs, yep.
And I said to him, what is going on with Aiden Corr? Where is he actually, Leon? Tasmania are going to have a new team in the NBL next year, Jim.
Right.
Okay. So they've narrowed it down to 3 names, okay?
Right.
They've had a lot of nominations.
Oh, how this is. Have a listen
I haven't even
bins.
Had a beer. Nominations.
In the bins, Brownless.
From the Tasmanian public, Jim, and they've narrowed it down to 3, and they'll reveal the name on October 1, okay?
This is career worst.
An older couple, Jim, made a deal that whoever died first would come back and inform the other one if there's sex after death.
Mm.
Their biggest fear was there was no sex after all.
Right.
After life at all. Braden.
He couldn't use them.
You win. You can have a first choice.
Did you say win?
They just go with a brage. You've had a win.
Yeah.
Giants coach, oh, he's not happy. Leon Cameron, Jim. He is not happy because old Apple, Adrian Corr.
Apple.
Adrian. Well, it's Apple. He likes to go with Apple.
Aiden. His name's Aiden.
Say, is it?
Yeah.
Bad name, Aiden.
From Adrian. At least
just put R
name.
In there, an R and a.
All right.
Adrian.
Yeah, that's it.
Adrian. Oh, plenty of sport, Jim.
Come on.
And we do have a sponsor, our very good friends at Sea-Dooey.
They are the best. They also do like the quad bikes for farms and stuff. Sea-Dooey, they're superb. Rather than Dooey, of course. Fat tried to roll the goey into Sea-Dooey.
All right. Oh, good work. Hey, Jimmy boy, plenty of sport. I've got different all sports of sport. Thanks to our good friends.
What was
that? All sports of sport.
Different all sports of sport.
And just one final one, the Tour de France. I love it, Jim. I watch it every night. And Richie Porte, the Aussie, or the Tasmania, Tasmanian, is going to finish 12 months rego, 12 month third party insurance, stamp duty, state of the art, technology, cruise control, reverse camera, sat, nav. Why can't dinosaurs clap their hands?
Why?
Because they're dead.
Jim.
Couldn't they have been dead for 2,000 years, you dickhead?
No, it's more than 2,000.
JC was wandering around 2,000 years ago.
Was he?
What the hell are you on about? 2,000.
All right, then, 5,000 years ago.
No, even longer than that. I think you're right. Oh, my God. This is old Bins.
Bins. Yeah.
Bins Brownless in September, and he just falls right off.
Well, what's the date? 25th of September, Jim. So I tell you, I've nearly finished, by the way. We're nearly off air, so that's why I'm just struggling. I'm limping to the line.
Fat, you can't even sort of blame lunches because normally this time of year you're doing a heap of speaking stuff and lunch. You can't blame that because there have been none of them.
Yep.
In lockdown, so you should be fresh. So what are you blaming it on, Bins?
My brain. It just doesn't work.
Well, Vin will have loved that out in Preston. Vin. We got the joke to close the week next.
It's a Rush Hour, Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour on the Triple M app and on your home smart speaker with JB and Bins Brownless.
I just want to send a cheerio to the Catherine Camels gym.
Who?
Well, up there in Catherine, they're called the Camels, the footy team. They're in the grand final tomorrow.
Right.
So good luck to the boys.
Do you know, while we're saying that, Claremont are in the Waffle Grand Final. My old mob.
Right.
So,
your old mob.
And march straight in there. So you go.
The reserves, are they in there? Because that's your old mob.
Right, listen to Fat, will you? Now we get a joke. Just really sort of end people's week on a good note.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
And Friday's often just a little naughtier than others. So,
naughtier, Jim.
Here we go.
And a touch fruity, so I apologise in advance. The doctor walks in and he says, "Sir, I have some bad news. I'm afraid you're going to have to stop masturbating."
Oh.
The patient was taken back. He said, "I don't understand, Doc. Why?" He says, the doctor said, "Because I'm trying to examine you." Jim,
what
the doctor's trying
to examine you.
Doctor's trying to examine him and his buddy. Uncle Doug, come on,
he's got to go again because it's a good punchline.
No, he doesn't go again. That's it. It's actually, again, an example of a pretty good joke, just absolutely butchered.
You got it, Jim.
Examine you. You.
Examine.
Anyway. So on that disgracefully told note, that's the end of the week.
I'm going on holidays.
Finish up, Bins.
Poor old Bins. I'm trying to examine you.